Welcome to the preaching podcast from the Bonners Ferry Baptist Church in Bonners Ferry, Idaho. In 1 Timothy 3:15, it says that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Therefore, we believe it is our duty to hold fast and to hold forth the truth, which is the Word of God. We're glad that you're listening and hope that you will be encouraged by what you hear today.
Can I just say something real quick about song? We just heard that song about why we sing. If you'll notice, the world, by that I mean the unbelieving world, as the Bible uses that term, their songs are filled with what they're agitated about, what they're frustrated about, or what they're lusting after. God's music is filled with why we rejoice and who we rejoice in. A very different perspective communicated in music. Amen. Music is vitally important, and I thank God for good music that helps us get our attention where it ought to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Appreciate those who work hard here and in providing good, godly music. I was talking to Jim and Jeff on Friday. We're working on the radio station a little bit in preparation for some things. And I read this somewhere recently, and I do believe it. I believe godly music is its own genre. It's its own thing. It's written for the right reasons. It has the right sound, and I'm grateful to God for it. It's a blessing from God. Amen. Appreciate those of you who help provide it. Mark chapter 11, if you're there in your Bibles. And what we have, as I said before, we have a historical account that took place at what we call the triumphal entry. I've preached this text many years ago. I don't remember when it was here that preached about this same situation. But we want to focus in today specifically on the fulfillment of a prophecy. The prophecy is in Zechariah chapter 9 about the Lord coming and riding on the foal of an ass. And so we find that fulfilled here today when the Lord Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on the back of a young donkey in fulfillment of that prophecy, being presented as king, lauded as king, and 1 week later crucified. That's really how that happened. And so that shows you the fickleness of humanity. We want you to be our king 1 week, and the next week we're willing to crucify you. And it's humanity is very much the same today. When the Lord Jesus returns next, it will not be on a young donkey. He'll be coming on a white horse. He came in Jerusalem the first time in humility. He will not return in humility. He'll return in glory. And he is in his glory today, and it's important for us to know that he is living and returning, and we'll give an account to him. We want to be ready for that. But we see today this entry into Jerusalem. He's presented as a king and lauded as such, and in the process, he had need of a donkey. Now, how can the Lord need anything? We'll see the meaning of that term, but I believe this today. The Lord doesn't need us in the sense of him being poverty-stricken. And we know the Lord was in human form here, so he humbled himself and limited himself to human needs, right? But even so today, the Lord has chosen in his sovereign wisdom to involve mankind in the work that he does. So for instance, for those of us who are here and you know you're saved, you've been born again, Christ is your Savior, the Spirit of God indwells you, God has entrusted the preaching and the furtherance of the gospel to us. He did not give that to angels. He didn't give it to the government. He didn't give it to anybody else. He gave it to us as believers and to us as a local New Testament church. That is our divinely appointed responsibility. And that is where we find our purpose, is in knowing that when God saved me, he not only saved me from something, he saved me to something. This is a theme I hope is coming through much of the teaching and preaching right now. If I had to ask you this morning, what are you living for? Could you write today in a very definable term what you live to accomplish? What are you living for? What is your purpose in life? I'm afraid many Americans, including Christians, could not articulate what they're living for. The next paycheck and what it can accomplish. When God saves you, friend, you got something to live for until the day you breathe your last. And so I'm asking, what are we living for? And I say, I'm not standing here, I've got nothing better to do. But the truth is, you could flip that around and say, I'm here because I can't think of or know anything better to do than serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether we're in church today or out this week, when I get up tomorrow, my focus is not going to be
on preaching a message to a church gathering, my focus is going to be on my responsibility to love my wife and my children and fulfill my responsibilities, because my master has got a plan and a purpose for my life, and I'm certain of that. Now, here's the thing. He has a plan and purpose for your life as well, but he's not going to force that on you. He gives you the opportunity to come to him. What we see today is in this account of this donkey, we see a picture, if you would, maybe for lack of a better word, it's almost like a microcosm of how the Lord works in the life of someone that he saves and sanctifies into his service. And I think there's a tremendous correlation between what takes place here and how the Lord works in the life of a person. If you're here this morning aimlessly drifting through life, I believe the Lord has not just allowed you to be here today, he's working in your life. You may feel like you end up here on accident, but the Lord is at work behind the scenes, directing and working in people's lives, sending people after you. How many of you believe God sends people after you? Not in a scary way. He would like to deliver you from the bondage of sin and put you into his service. And then you have something you can actually live for. Amen? Let's pray, and then we're going to stand together in honor of the Word of God, and we'll read the first 11 verses of this text and then give you three things out of these 11 verses. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this day. We do thank you for each and every person here today. Lord, we pray that you would just please bless, as you have already blessed this meeting, Lord, with the working of your Holy Spirit, Lord, who is as real as any one of us, though we cannot see you, Lord, by your word. We know you're present, and you liken your working to that of the wind. We cannot see you, but we see and understand the effects of what you do. And so, Lord, as you work in hearts today, may we be sensitive to what you're saying to us. Lord, I believe each and every one of us may be at a different phase of what we see put forward here today. Help us to be discerning and recognize that we may gain spiritual wisdom and make good spiritual decisions. Lord, I pray if there's any that are unsaved and, Lord, still bound in sin, that they would know your offering and sending, Lord, to set them free today from the bondage of sin. And, Lord, I pray, may we just listen to you carefully and wisely and respond to you in faith. Please help me to be faithful with your word now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, if you'd stand, please, with me, and we'll read these 11 verses. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them stood there, said unto them, What do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches of the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, Hosanna, cried saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Thank you. You may be seated. If you're taking notes, and I hope you're in the habit of doing that, it helps us to retain what we hear. So I encourage you not to dawdle while we hear the Word of God, but it does help to take notes. And if you are, this account is also found in Matthew 21. Verses 1 through 11. It's also in John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. So it is one of those accounts that is in all four Gospels. I don't really want to focus in on the crying out and what they're saying here today. I want to really put our attention and focus on the acquiring of this donkey. The Bible calls it the foal of an ass. We find in Matthew it was a mother and her foal. Obviously the foal is big enough to ride, but has never been ridden. Now, if you've ever jumped on the back of a horse or any other beast that's never been ridden, typically doesn't work out like this. I don't want to bore you with stories or just spend a message telling stories, but when I was
9 or 10, 11 years old. I fancied myself a cowboy. I liked to ride on any horse I could get on at any time. At that period of time, I did a lot of riding. My grandpa had horses, and his horses were about half crazy. He'd get a good horse, and he'd trade it off for something that wasn't worth the horse. But anyway, different story for a different time. One of the deacons in our church, a good man, called my parents one day, and I was probably actually 8 or 9, said, I had a pony show up my barn this morning. I thought Nevin might be interested in riding that pony. And it was a Shetland pony. So, I was excited, went down there. When I got there, it was a Tennessee backwoods saddle, a burlap sack tied on with grass rope, right? So it was baling rope, not baling twine, but it was. But that grass baling twine tied on a burlap sack on the back of that Shetland pony, and it had a burlap bridle. That's what's on this thing, right? So I'm going to ride this pony. So he had rigged up this bridle for it and put it in its mouth, and so no bit. And I jump on the pony. The pony doesn't want me on its back. It succeeded. It goes running just full tilt down this gravel driveway. The burlap sack slid. I slid with it, and literally I just landed on my face and skidded down the gravel. And I could go on with horse stories. Why I would ever have gotten on another one again, I don't know. My point is this. God makes a point that this foal of an ass had never been sat on, ever. No one had ever tamed it. No one had ever trained it. But under the hand of the master, it did exactly what it was supposed to do. And I think that when we see that take place, then it should open our minds and say, you know, there are some people that have never been tamed and never been trained, but they need to be under the hand of the master. And the master would have them under his hand. I love asking this, how hard is it for God through the Lord Jesus Christ to take someone who's never learned how to serve, take them out of where they're at, and get them plugged into his service? How hard is that for God to do? It's not hard at all for God to do. It's a matter of us letting him do that. It's his purpose to seek and to save sinners. It's his purpose that you and I should serve. May I say this? I can stand here with confidence this morning and say it's God's will for every person in this room to be saved, to be forgiven for your sins, to know that, and to be saved. So how can you say that? Because the Bible says it. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's not willing that any person in this room or any person in this town or any person in this county should die and go to a devil's hell. That's why he sent Christ into this world, to take our sins on the cross so you don't have to perish. God did already what is necessary to save you from sin. And let me be very clear, because I'm going to preach a message that has much to do with serving the Lord. But I like to think in my mind, based on what the Bible says about sin, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, meaning you sin because you think it pleases you, and then when you're pleased to stop, you can't, because sin is a master. Sin takes over you. We think it's our pet when, in fact, it's our master. And whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. No one can liberate himself from the power of sin. So I think of sin like a giant chain and a padlock locked onto our ankle. And at the end of that chain is a place called hell, where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched, it's literal, it's eternal, and there's no escape. Somebody says, well, I don't mind going to hell. I'll be there and party with my buddies. You have a rude awakening coming. There's no partying there. There's no joy there, and there's no escape there. And that chain of sin is on you, and every day of your life is like one link being pulled. You're pulled one day closer, one day closer, one day closer, until one day your sin will drag you into a devil's hell. Christ stands ready to take that chain of sin off you and set you free. We're building toward the very first point of this message. And so this morning, you may be here a servant and a slave of sin. Somebody says, well, I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. Well, if you're sinning, your sin's telling you what to do. It is your master, and the author of sin is your master, and you need the Lord Jesus. What we mean by saved is saved from your sin. What is sin? Disobedience to God. Your conscience tells you what sin is. If I said, last week you helped the old lady across the street pick up her groceries that she dropped on the ground. Now, that was sin. You'd say, you're crazy. But if I said, last week, you thought on some things in the privacy of your mind that you knew were filthy and unclean, and that you did so because it brought you pleasure, and you wouldn't tell anybody if they put a gun to your head what you were thinking. Now we know what sin is. We know what sin is a lot more than we pretend, don't we? Yeah. And so the fact of the matter is, God sent Christ to save you, liberate you from sin. We see that pictured here. The very first point we want to see this morning regarding this foal of an ass, this donkey, is his liberation. There are some things the Bible, some details God puts in here that make us, it draws our mind, if you know the scripture, to some principles that relate to how God deals with us. And that's why we feel very comfortable using this text to preach it this way. So the Lord Jesus in verse 1 of Mark chapter 11 says, when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany and at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. So he does what? Then one of the other texts says he told them to go, right? Says so here in verse 2, and he saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered in to it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat, loose him, and bring him. So notice this colt, all right? And again, Matthew says it's a mother and a colt, so it's two of them. But here the focus is put very clearly on the one that the Lord Jesus will ride upon into Jerusalem. He says, you're going to go into the city, and you're going to find a colt. Now, here's where we draw an analogy. He gets two of his disciples. Often, when you have two, it's the number of a witness, right? When he sent out the 70, he sent them out by two. So he says, I have this a job for you two disciples. We have someone bound, and I want you to go and loose him. You know what, when you and I go, who are saved, and preach the gospel, you know what we're doing? We're preaching liberation from sin. God has desired to loose somebody from the power of their sin. Why didn't Jesus just go and loose the donkey himself? He could have. Why didn't he just speak the word and say, donkey, be loosed and come? He could have. He's teaching us something. The Lord today is still loosing people bound, just like he loosed a donkey on this day. Is he not? And he's using disciples to do it. He says, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye loose on earth is loosed in heaven. The Lord's using us to loose people from the bondage of their sin. That, by the way, you don't think sin is a bondage. You sin and just thoroughly enjoy it without it ever troubling you. Some people say, well, I could if all these Christians weren't around telling me how bad it is. Not on your life. You have a thing called a conscience. You can sear that conscience where it doesn't work anymore, but you got to do a lot to get it there. And the fact of the matter is, God in heaven reminds you that what you've done is wrong. Who says it's wrong? He says it's wrong. And we have a conscience that eats on us and grieves us, and sin is a wretched taskmaster. I like to say this as often as I can. Sin will promise you life and give you death. It promises you pleasure and gives you sorrow. Promises you liberty and brings you into bondage. Sin is a liar because it's authored by Satan, who's a liar. Sin never delivers. It momentarily delivers enough to keep you shackled and then ultimately does damage. Sin is just like the hook with bait on it. The fish that swallows the bait immediately has the pleasure of whatever drew him to the hook, but he has the eternal misery of that hook in his jaw, and later on he ends up in a frying pan. And Satan works you and I the same way. He laces his hook of death with and of sin with something that is attractive, and he hooks us and destroys us. Listen, though, God, in his mercy, has sent his Son into the world, and his Son says, as the Father sent me, even so send I you. He gets two disciples. He says, when you enter into this city, sends them to a specific place at a specific time with a specific task, and that is to liberate this donkey that is bound. Is it not tied up? It goes on to tell us a number of things about this donkey. So we have a precept coming from the Savior, go. The prospect that he's after, not only is he bound, but he's never been ridden, as we made a note of. The purpose, the Bible says in verse 3, and if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye, the Lord doesn't like donkeys to be tied up. No, it's more than that. He didn't just turn him loose and say, oh, I have a ministry of loosing donkeys. How many of us understand an eternal purpose was being worked out on this day at this time? Something that had been prophesied hundreds of years earlier was being worked out, and God, part of God's plan was to include this little beast in his plan. But to do that, he's got to be loosed and he's got to be brought to the Savior. You with me thus far? Don't let us miss the spiritual lesson in this. He sends two disciples. He said, he's bound, loose him. And he says, if any man say unto you, why do ye this? It was somebody else's donkey, wasn't it? Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. He said, you do this in my name, in my authority. Don't say, well, I'm James and I'm John. Don't ask me questions. No. You're not going in your authority. You tell them, the Lord sent us. The Lord said, release him. It's not on us. He tells us, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Meaning that you don't generate your own authority. You go and you preach because I told you to. I'm going to tell you something. You know why Bonner's Ferry Baptist Church has the liberty to go and preach the gospel to whomsoever we will? Because the Lord told us to. We don't get our authority to preach the gospel from our government. We must understand that. I'm not an anti-government preacher. God established government, has its place. But I'm going to tell you, one of its places is not telling the church how to operate and function. That's the Lord's business. Pilate didn't send these two guys and say, go loose that donkey. The Lord Jesus did. You with me? And so then there was the precept, the commandment, you two disciples go into the city, you'll find a donkey loosed or bound. You're going to loose him. When somebody says why, you're going to say because the Lord has need of him. The Lord has a job for this donkey. And so the place, if we keep on reading Mark 11, it says, and they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. We just saw last night, the Lord Jesus said there are how many ways? Two ways. And where's this donkey bound? Right where two ways met. Some of you are living right here, right now. Now, I'm not the Spirit of God, and I don't know hearts, but it's very likely there is somebody in this room, and you have a decision to make in life. Are you going to choose the broad gate and the wide way that leads to destruction, that leads to God casting you out eternally? The path that's paved with sin, the path that's charted by your own will, by your way, it's an easy path to get on, it's an easy path to take, but it does not end well. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. So I just don't want to be different. Well, most of the world is going to hell because they don't want Jesus Christ. And it's not hard to go there. Just ignore God. You'll end up there. It's very easy to go through that gate. It's wide. There's room for anybody and everybody. We sang earlier there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the narrow gate, but you've got to come to one person if you're going to end up in eternity with God. And that person is Jesus Christ. He's the only way. You say, that's awful narrow. That's exactly what he said. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way. This donkey was tied at a place where two ways met, meaning he's bound at an intersection of two places, and we don't want to make more of it than we should. But I think the way it's verbiaged in the Bible, the way it's worded, makes our minds realize, hey, there's two ways, and there are those today bound in sin at the crossroads of life. You're going to have to choose. Are you going to let the Lord loose you? Say, well, this one had to be loosed. God chose it for him. There's an analogy here. Here's what salvation is. God loosing sinners so they can go his way. Do you realize the donkey didn't go both ways? He only went one way. That was the way to Christ. Some people say, well, I want to just go, I want my options to stay open. You realize you have to choose Christ or reject Christ? You have to come at his command or not? And so as we look at this donkey, we see the place, a place where two ways met by a door. And then their prosperity, I don't want to paint the men that owned him in an evil light, but I envision in my mind they're very much like the devil who has hold of sinners. The Lord Jesus would say that when you enter into a strong man's house, except you bind the strong man, you can't spoil his goods. You realize the devil, Jesus referred to the Pharisees as the you're of your father, the devil, and his works ye will do. The Lord Jesus entered into a domain that Satan thought he had taken for his own, and he conquered that strong man through his resurrection from the dead. And when he says, loose a sinner, you know what Satan has to do? He has to loose them. You say, no, it doesn't work. It does work that way. You understand that Lucifer, the devil, is the creation of Jesus Christ. He created him. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus has bruised Satan under his foot. And when these men said, look, they start to loose the donkey, and Jesus, in his foreknowledge, knew what would be said. He knew they would face some opposition. Hey, what are you doing with that donkey? The Lord sent us to get him. He hath need of him. And what'd they say? Okay. Then this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so this is not a message about not having to exercise faith. It's a picture of how Christ works when he, as Paul used it, apprehends someone. Realize the Lord Jesus Christ is working actively today in this world and very likely in this room to apprehend some people. Because you're bound. You're bound in sin. And the Lord says, I have need of you. On the road to Damascus, Saul was walking who had been persecuting Christ's church. And the Lord Jesus intercepted him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why are you doing this against me, not against my people? What, the Lord Jesus took it personally. How you treat God's people is how you treat Christ. Amen? Why are you persecuting me? And Saul says, Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? And on that day, he loosed him from the bonds of his sin and his self-righteousness and his old religion and set him free to serve. And the Lord had a purpose for him, did he not? And we've been dealing with on Thursday night, it's not exclusive to Paul. The Lord has a purpose for you as well. We know that all things work together for good. How many of you want your lives to turn out good? Now here, I'm going to help you. Some young people need to listen up. You're going to have somebody on a screen somewhere tell you, or maybe a counselor in a classroom say, hey, you want your life to end up good, don't you? Follow your dreams. Pursue your passions. Follow your heart. Now, I want you to wake up, pay attention, look around you at the people that are telling you that and tell me it works well. Now, start there. Just some common sense. We have a world filled with people that have just so much overflowing joy and contentment. Right? No. How many of you know some angry people in your life? You know what they're angry about? They followed their heart and didn't find like where they ended up. The Bible says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. A fool. I don't know about you, I don't want to be a fool today. So we should trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not unto our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him and let him direct our paths. Romans 8:28 says, and we know. Now I know our world says you can't know anything. The only thing they know is you can't know anything. Once you say you know something for sure, somebody blows a whistle and cries foul. No. You're acting like there's truth in this world. No one can know anything for sure. You were taught 2 + 2 = 4, but we don't know that now anymore. I met a man in town, the other end of town, so my kids were with me. We knocked on his door, and I'm trying to illustrate there's some things we know. I said, well, like 2 + 2 = 4. He said, not so fast. I said, you don't believe 2 + 2 = 4? Not for everybody. Ha! That's what he believed. For some people, it may equal something different. No, you and I don't determine truth. God is truth, and that's never going to change. We have to respond to truth. When I reject truth, I'm a fool. When I submit to truth, I'm wise. We know that all things work together for good, but it doesn't stop there. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. How many of us ever got a purpose in life and said, I'm just going to chase it. I'm going to pursue it. Remember, I've had this, you hear so much. If you want to do something, anything you dream of, you can achieve. That's nonsense. That's not even true. God says, no, I have a purpose for you. And if you'll love me and be called according to my purpose, it will work together for good when it's all said and done. And so this morning, I've been talking about purpose. The Lord had need of this donkey. He had this little beast, this unknown little foal of an ass, played a part in fulfilling a prophetic scripture, and the Lord sent two of his disciples and said, go loose him, liberate him first so I can use him. The purpose of his liberation was that Christ might employ him in his work. The Lord, listen, if you're here this morning, you're saved. The Lord doesn't just go around loosing people to say, well, I just want them loose so they can roam around and do whatever they want. No, he liberated you from the bondage of sin unto righteousness. That's Romans chapter 6. You were a servant of sin, but thank God you've been set free that you might serve righteousness. I'll be honest with you. There is no higher calling. The Apostle Paul referred to this in Philippians 3 than serving Jesus Christ. There's a donkey today whose life had more meaning than many people. Because that donkey got used by Jesus Christ to enter into Jerusalem just before his crucifixion and his resurrection. We're preaching 2,000 years later. I'm preaching about a donkey today. What in the world makes that donkey special? The place he was born? Who he was owned by? He hauled gold out of mines. No, I'm going to tell you what makes that donkey special. It's who sat on his back. The same thing that makes a manger special. What's a manger? A feeding trough. It's used to feed slobbering animals, but there's a manger we think about today. What made it special is who was laid inside that manger. This morning, you and I, we're just God's creation. We're humble things that God has created, but what makes us worth something is who uses our life. And if you listen, I'm here. You say, You seem like you're pushing back at some. Yes, you listen, especially room full of young people this morning, and praise God for it. You got a world trying to tell you what the meaning of life is when they don't even know what life is at all. How about the God who created you telling you what you're worth and what the meaning of life is and what fulfillment is? Listen, this world's feeding you a pack of lies. Meaning is not found in some romantic relationship. Praise God for God's way of marriage, but meaning is not found in your friends. It is in belonging to the God of heaven, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you listen midday. Some of you are listening to the wrong people. It shows out all over your lives, and you need to listen to God. Amen. So, liberation. He liberated this animal first. Then we see the animal, the donkey's leadership. Luke 11, verse 5, "And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go." What happens is the disciples come. The first thing that happens, they liberate this donkey. He's bound at a place where two ways meet. They come liberating. The owner say, "Hey, what are you doing?" So the Lord hath need of him. Okay. Now, here's what I want you to see. Were they sent on the mission, as I've already mentioned, just to liberate him? Or were they sent to attain him and bring him to Christ? Listen this morning, I'll say it again. The Great Commission doesn't say, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations that they may be saved and leave them alone." Many people fulfill one third of the Great Commission or focus on that and leave the rest of it be. No, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost," teaching them. By baptizing them, what are we teaching? "To observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." You know what? Christ saved you so you'd stop obeying sin and start serving him. So I don't want to serve Christ. Well, then serve sin. Because you're going to serve one of the two. Every person in this room this morning is either serving Jesus Christ or serving sin. You're doing one of the two. Every breathing person in this room is serving one of two people. You're either serving the Savior, it's not a person, or you're serving sin. You cannot serve both at the same time. When this donkey was liberated, he was led. Once God saves you, you know what? He puts some people in your life to lead you and teach you how to follow him. And we find a few things about his leadership. His leadership by these disciples, number one, was according to the word of God. What do they do with him? Exactly what Jesus said to do with him. The Lord said, "Loose him," and if somebody says, "What are you doing?" say this, "The Lord hath need of him." You know what the disciples did? They were good disciples. They come verbatim. They say exactly what Jesus said. They loosed him. They said, "What are you doing?" "The Lord hath need of him." "Okay, you can take him." And then the Lord said, "Bring him to me," right? We understand that's what he wanted done. The point is this, the Lord's leadership in your life, don't miss this morning, will always be according to his word. It'll always be according to his word. These disciples, they didn't get there and say, "You know, this is a nice donkey. Maybe we could take him down to the auction and make a few bucks." That's not why they loosed him. They loosed him because the Lord had need of him. Listen this morning. The Lord has employment for you in his service. Many of you here are saved. The Lord Jesus said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." He has need of you, meaning he has a purpose to employ you in his work. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to use disciples to lead you to him that you may learn to be used of him. That's how God's church works. Disciples, disciple, disciples. I didn't say he's going to give you some YouTube mogul out there who doesn't even attend church to tell you how to serve God. You find this out. You got some dude on YouTube telling you what the Bible means, and he won't even darken the door of a church. He has no credibility. And until he's praying for you and investing in you and showing you an example by daily living, just take it and compare it to the Bible. You with me? This is needful for this to be preached in our day. You have every other Johnny come lately who hates the local church and wants to tell Christians how not to live for God. You hate the church, you're not on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died to create it, and he lives to sustain it. Amen? That's what the Bible says. And so I'm trying to say to you this morning, the Lord sent to which disciples went and liberated? Who got this one on this day? Who got the donkey loose today? Doesn't matter. The matter was the Lord had need of him. He said, you go get him, liberate him, set him free, and then start leading him. What was the direction these disciples were leading him? Closer to Christ or away from Christ? Closer, according to the Lord's word. All right. So they did it exactly like the Lord Jesus said. They went and loosed him. When there was a challenge, they said, we're operating in his name, not in our own. He authorized what we're doing. Oh, well, then do it. I can't stop it. If the Lord said, have at it, right? So it was according to the word of Christ, accomplished by the workers of Christ. So who had sent these men? The Lord Jesus. And it was accomplishing the will of Christ. Christ had a plan. I want to get on the back of that donkey and use it today. And so they brought this donkey to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read in your own time, John 8, 34 through 36. If the Son therefore should make you should be free indeed. And then Romans 6, 17 and 18 talks about being made free from sin. We're servants of righteousness. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 lays out how the older in the family of God are to teach the younger. And so this is a principle in Scripture. They see this donkey liberated by the word of Christ, led through disciples by the word of Christ. And then we see the labor of this donkey. Look in verse 7. So we read, let's go back to verse 5. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they went before, and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem, so on and so forth. Our focus will be on through verse 10. We see the essence of the labor if you're taking notes. By that I mean, what exactly was he doing? What's this donkey doing? What donkeys were built to do? Carrying a load. One of the best load-bearing animals you can have, load-carrying animals, is a donkey. Donkey, mule, these make, they're built for it. God designed them for this. How many of us would say, boy, that was a heroic donkey? He's doing his job. The deal is, though, he'd never been ridden on before. Isn't it amazing what Christ can accomplish when something's in his hand? You know what? It pictures, in my mind, here's a donkey perfectly submitted under the load of the Lord Jesus Christ, fulfilling a divine purpose by doing what he was created to do. Serve the Master. You want to wake up one day and say, you know what? I have the sense that I'm doing what I was designed to do. You'll have that when you're under the authority of Jesus Christ. How many of you think the Lord Jesus had this donkey hobbled and all wound up tight? No. There's a mutual cooperation going on here. Christ needed a ride. The donkey was just exactly fitted to give one. It was a very simple task. It's what they were designed to do. Do you realize when God saves you, he puts gifting in you? Some of us say, oh, I cannot envision being a missionary to Africa. Well, stop envisioning that and do what he's given you to do today. Don't worry about going to Africa. You live in Bonner's Ferry. If he ever wants you in Africa, he'll get you there. He'll tell you to go. Isn't it amazing? That's when people say, oh, we're going to be a missionary in Africa. Well, be a missionary on your street. Come to church faithfully. Encourage other. You say, why should we come to church? Because your presence encourages other Christians to serve God. When you lift your voice and sing, it encourages the guy next to you or across ways. And I want to hear me singing. You'd be shocked. When you show up and you greet somebody and you do the work you're supposed to do and you get your battery charged. See, coming to church is not just always about getting something. It's about giving something. We assemble to be built up and equipped to serve the Lord. Listen, Christ isn't dead. He has work for us to do. Somebody you know needs to be liberated from sin. Somebody, you know what, on this day, you know what this donkey did? In a very literal way, he lifted Christ up where men could see him. Jesus is not walking like everybody else. Who's that on the donkey? That's what one of the texts. Who is that? Well, what made them see him? There was a donkey willing to let Christ ride on his back. And today, what sets that donkey apart from all the rest of the donkeys in all of the world is none other had Christ ride on him. Amen? We have a treasure in an earthen vessel. We're just earthen vessels. We're clay. Right? Then what makes us special? Who dwells within? It's who dwells within, who gets to use our lives. It's the one who the sanctification is not just being loosed. Sanctification is being in the labor of the Lord under his charge, under his care. Now notice a few things. The essence of his labor, very simple, but very significant. What this donkey is doing is part, as we've said already, of the eternal foretold purpose of God. How did he get involved? Christ loosed him and put him in his service. That's exactly it. You realize this morning, I believe I'm doing something right now that has eternal value. Well, you think you're special? Not one bit. But I serve one who certainly is. And if my life, being used the way he created it to be used, can lift him up where other men can see him, I have succeeded. And so have you. Let's think about this. The essence of this donkey's service or labor was simple but significant. Now, the equipping. We see something taking place before the Lord Jesus sits on his back. The disciples and those gathered around took their garments and laid it on the back of that donkey. Why did they do that? They're preparing it for the Lord to use. Don't miss this. You know how you're going to get prepared for the Lord to use you? Get around God's people. God will use a local church to equip you to serve him. So do you have any other Bible to back that up? I'm very glad you asked. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, not just to back it up, it declares it plainly. Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says verses 11 through 16, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. These are part of the gifts, spiritual gifting God gives. He's focusing on this in particular because of what these gifts are given to accomplish. So we have, by the way, we have the ministry of the apostles and prophets right here. It's a foundation laid in our Bibles today. We have the record of their teachings. The doctrine that was once delivered has been laid down and preserved for us, okay? So apostles, and in some sense, you might say we still have prophets today in the sense that proclaiming God's word, but not in new revelation. We don't need new revelation. We have what we need. So it's the proclamation of what we have. And then he said, and some evangelists, that's those who go and preach the gospel, the good news of the resurrected Christ. And some pastors and teachers, these correlate with the Great Commission. The evangelist goes and preaches the gospel to an unbelieving world and then maybe baptized. The pastor and teacher says, here's how you obey Christ, right? And gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? Why do you give these gifts? For the perfecting of the saints. That's called spiritual growth. So you can become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can go forward in what God expects you to be, preparing you for his service. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Why do we need saints being perfected or growing? So you can work in the ministry. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why do you need to work in the ministry? To edify other Christians inside the local church. The body of Christ is this, it's a church. So as you are under the teaching, preaching, care of those that God has gifted to do that, under the sound of God's word inside a local New Testament church, you're growing in your likeness to Christ. That enables you to work for Christ. And as you work for Christ, you will edify other people. Amen. How many of you come in this morning a little bit encouraged about our chili suppers this year? Am I encouraged? I'm encouraged. Now, how many of us know it takes near every member of this church to make that work? People doing what they are enabled and gifted to do. And as a result, yes, the unbelieving world got to hear the gospel. Some unsaved people have heard the gospel. But God's people have been strengthened and encouraging us to say, keep doing it. We're watching the word of God work before our eyes. Don't let the devil sell you a cheap bill of goods. When Christ liberated you, he liberated you for one purpose. He has use for you. Don't let this old lying world and the devil use you when God's the one that liberated you. Amen? And the world never liberated me from sin. It just drags me into it. But Christ set me free. I'll be his servant, thank you. Amen? I'm happy to just be a donkey with some clothes from God's servant thrown on my back to help me serve Christ. Because that's where true meaning is at. So I don't think so. Oh, if you don't think so, you tell me how fulfilled your life is. Now, I understand that's not the full test of it, but the fruit of the Spirit is joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness this morning. Nothing like serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then, the equipping of this donkey, what happened? The servants of God readied him for service. You with me this morning? You can keep reading in Ephesians 4 in your own time for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith unto a perfect man, meaning God has, he has an idea of what he wants you to be as a Christian. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, fully matured. It doesn't mean sinless there, it means fully matured, perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God has a work for you to do. And so then, He's equipping you unto that through his word, through his servants. And so we see the labor of this animal. He's equipped by people putting their garments on him and in the way. And then the effect, well, number one, he was used, as we've noted throughout the message, to fulfill the eternal purpose of God as prophesied in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, that he would come lowly, sitting on the ass, a foal of an ass, and would be coming into Jerusalem, presented to his own people. We see that he brought about this donkey, was used of God to bring out the exalting praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 9, and many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they went that went before, and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. If we looked at Matthew 21, I want to look there very quickly, and we're almost done this morning. Matthew 21, we see as the Lord makes his entry, he's going to get chided about it by the unbelievers, but let's just read how it's written here in Matthew's gospel. It says in verse 8 of Matthew 21, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way, and the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And when he's come to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? The multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. You understand, this donkey got used, as we said, to lift up the Lord. And you know what made people say? Who is this? You know, when you and I allow the Lord to liberate us from the shackle hold of sin, bring us into his service, be directed through his word by his disciples to learn how to be his servant, that he may use us for his purpose, they don't say, Whoa, who is that donkey? Our job is not to get people to say who we are. This world wants you to live a life that makes people say, Wow, who is that? When our lives are used his way, they say, Who is the one that he's serving? Who is that? But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. When was the last time people looked at your life and said, Why are you what you are? Who is it? See, when you're living for somebody, it shows up. When you and I are under the Lord's rule and under his direction and used in his service, the end result is it magnifies Christ. Why Paul said, For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And one of the reasons I know this message has to resonate with you is how it resonates with me. My old wretched natural pride says I want people to say, Wow, who's he? But that's not what living is. Living as you know what, I'm going to live simply under the direction of Christ, doing what he has equipped me to do. And as a result, others will say, Who is that on him? Who is that that's using? I mean, well, look, we're just donkeys anyhow. Not me. Need to look in the Bible, get a good look at ourselves. Yeah, that's what we are. Praise God, he knows how to use something like that for his glorious purpose. And the end result of this donkey being liberated and led to the Savior is the Lord used him in a way that lifted up the Lord Jesus Christ, and men said, Who is that? Now, why is it important? Does Christ have some kind of an egotistical problem that he needs attention? No, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. When Christ can use our lives for him to be seen, he's the one that can save people, not you and I. The reason it's important for Christ to be seen, the reason it's important for Christ to be magnified, is because he's the one that has the power to save. And no one can be saved. They don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is how he works. He uses our lives for his purpose, that other men might see him and be saved. And he may get the. And ultimately, is he not deserving of glory? Should some donkey steal the king's glory? No, he's the king. He's the creator. He is worthy to be praised. So it's only right to live a life that does that. May I say this? If you're not living a life today, and I'm not living a life today that praises God, we're robbers and thieves. Because he's worthy. To give him less than that is robbery. He's worthy. And so then, let's think about this morning. Have you been liberated? Are you on a path being drawn and led closer to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is the Lord working in your life to bring you and equip you for service? Or are you still like the person at the two ways? You've not decided to go the narrow way to Christ. You are still at a way where two ways meet. You know, I've not yet believed on Christ. You won't stay there forever. You realize that donkey wasn't tied up there just to sit there forever. The Lord loosed him. If you've not been loosed, salvation is God loosing you from the hold of sin. And by the way, he has the power to loose you. Secondly, leadership. How are you allowing the Lord to lead in your life? You know, I find the donkey here is a good example. I don't find he kicked and bucked at the disciples. He just went. Amen? The kind of disciple we should be. And then our labor for the Lord. The effect of it, we get to be part of God's eternal purpose, exalting the Savior to the praise he's worthy of and due. And then there's this principle for us to consider today. Not only do we see the Lord lifted up, you know what our lives become? We become like the donkey. We become an example for others to see. Say, hey, that's what it's all about right there. Notice this in closing. Isaiah chapter 57, very well-known text to many anyway, Isaiah 57. I think this text is demonstrated in this account today. Isaiah 57, verse 15. Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Who does God dwell with? He's in a high and holy place, but he dwells with them that are humble and contrite in spirit. Would we say a donkey represents a very humble beast? And look, the Lord had absolute perfect harmony with that animal in doing what he wanted to do. As long as we are proud and haughty and full of ourselves, we're really unusable to God. We have to learn to follow his lead. We have to learn to sit under his burden, labor with him. He said in Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am what? Meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. I believe we can look at this donkey today and say, you know what? That's how the Lord's working in lives today. That's a good example for me to follow. Let the Lord loose you. If you have not, if he has, let him lead you. And if he's leading you, let him equip you and serve him. Nothing better can be done with your life on this day. Amen. Let's stand.